This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
And on day one, we will begin the largest domestic deportation operation in American history.
We were promised that. And Donald Trump so far has delivered. Stop for a second. We're going to talk. It's going to be a big show. What has happened with mass deportations? What isn't happening? Where are we going? It's going to be a long, long show on it. But last year, over 2 million deportations. I saw a graph this morning. I think it was New York Times. Don't quote me on that. A graph this morning showing the major metropolitan areas, all of them, negative net migration. And I know, look, we're a year into the Trump presidency, more than a year in the second Trump presidency. And by this point in time, everybody has a gripe, myself included. I don't like this. I don't like that. I wish we were doing this. Totally fair. You're not a subject. You're a citizen. Complain all you want. Totally your right to do so and my right to do so. However, mass deportation is necessary to save the United States of America. If we massively deport foreigners, we will save this country. And if we don't massively deport foreigners, we can't. We cannot possibly stop the communists from conquering everything if all these foreigners stay here and we get more foreigners in this country. So far, after the first year, the Trump administration has done well. Now, I have heard the same rumors and rumblings that you have heard, that they're a little worried about the poll numbers and they're a little worried about the image and that there could be some sort of backing off. I have not seen any backing off, but I've heard the exact same rumors you have. So why? Well, look, I warned you about the propaganda. There's no nice way to tell somebody you're not welcome here. Stay out. It cannot be done nicely. It cannot. And it will involve tears. The propaganda effort around stopping this will be the largest, most pervasive, most evil propaganda effort you have ever seen in your life. The propaganda effort is not going to be just a bunch of screaming harpies, no, let all the illegals stay. The propaganda effort is going to be aimed directly at that kind heart that beats in your chest. And you saw it. You've seen it. We still see it all the time. Look at this crying kid. They sent his dad away. Look at the crying kid. I mean, this is what the propaganda's been.
Babies are being ripped away from their parents by masked agents. We can and must do better.
This president has unleashed a war on our own people and our communities. It is terrorizing our communities.
They are not going after criminals. They're going after anybody that is brown, that looks like me, that can't pass as what they say as a typical American.
They're going to arrest me for doing my job? I mean, as mayor, my number one responsibility is to keep Angeleno safe. Now, it never dawned on me that I would have to worry about keeping Angeleno safe from my own government.
This is Gestapo-like behavior.
Donald Trump's modern-day Gestapo is scooping folks up off the streets.
When you compare the old films of the Gestapo grabbing people off the streets of Poland, it does look like a Gestapo operation.
You posted on social media that, quote, ICE is acting like a terrorist force.
ICE agents, they are coming and kidnapping and disappearing people on the streets of the United States.
It's been heavy. And the reason you're hearing rumblings and rumors that the Trump administration may be backing away, again, we don't know that yet, is because propaganda works. Propaganda is a thing because it is effective, and it has always been effective because human beings like you and like me, we are affected by what goes into our eyes and ears. None of us are robots. Even my cold, cold heart can be swayed by enough propaganda one way or the other. Nevertheless, we have to keep in mind what I've told you 1,000 times before, what I already said once a couple minutes ago. With the mass importation of foreigners, we cannot possibly save the United States of America. I don't care how hard you work, how many phone calls you make, doors you knock on, how many times you run for office, how much you really, really want it. You cannot massively import foreign barbarians and save the United States of America. It's not possible. It's a simple numbers game. We can't win. It's not possible. And the flip side of that, the good side of that is, if we get these foreigners out of our country and keep them out of our country, the United States of America is going to get better and better and better and better, and we are going to find that the communists can't win elections anymore. And you know who knows that to be a fact? The communists, like Chuck Schumer.
The only way we're going to have a great future in America is if we welcome and embrace immigrants, the Dreamers, and all of them, because our ultimate goal is to help the Dreamers but get a path to citizenship for all 11 million or however many undocumented there are here.
They come out and say it. Why do you think he says it? Because he's got a kind heart. It's not like he's alone. Democrats say it all the time.
Do we need then to anyone who's here illegally that hasn't committed a crime, Senator Curtis, should there be a path to citizenship? Is that what compassion means to you? Or should these people not be allowed to stay?
Well, then let me ask you a question. Is there any law, any rule broken in our country where we don't have a consequence defined? So why don't we have a consequence defined when it comes to coming into this country without documentation? We continue to allow these people to be here, but we haven't defined what their consequence is.
So that's an inaction from policymakers?
Absolutely.
All right. So what would you say we need to do then? What's your answer to that? I guess is
like
it
every
amnesty
other...
for.
So first of all, you have to define amnesty. But any other crime that's committed here in our country, we define what the punishment is. And we've failed to do that in this case.
Senator Schiff? I thought I'd be arguing with Senator Curtis.
I think we need strong enforcement of our laws, but we also need to enforce them with compassion. And
they say it all the time. They know what I just said is true, that with all these foreigners, they can't lose. And they also know, vice versa, without them, they can't possibly win. It is a must. I hate to put all my eggs in one basket. You know that old lesson our parents taught us? Don't put all your eggs in one basket. But the truth is, I'm about as close to a one-issue person now as I've ever been, and that's because the Biden administration brought in 20 million more foreigners. The reason I'm as close to a one-issue person as I've ever been is we have to get them out. And you know what we absolutely positively cannot afford? We cannot afford to weaken. We cannot afford to back away. And we cannot afford to listen to the traitors within our own party like Maria Salazar.
If you are undocumented and you have been in the country for more than 5 years, you do not have a criminal record. You're working and paying taxes. You can come out of the shadows with no fear and apply for the dignity status.
But don't touch the nannies or the gardeners or the ones who are picking up the jalapeno peppers or the oranges or the berries or the ones in the dairy houses. Come on. Those people are helping us eat better, cheaper homes, cheaper vegetables, and better fruits. So those are the ones that we are trying to give a dignified status.
We need to also give dignity to those people who are in the country. And those are the people that I represent. We're talking about 13, 15 million people who are, most of them Hispanics, I would say 85%, who speak my language, look like me, and sound like me, that are contributing with the economy of this country, and they live in the shadows. So it's time to seal the border, like she said, put order, let's see who comes in and who doesn't, and then turn around and give dignity. That doesn't mean path to citizenship. That means to include them and make them dignified members of our community.
Thank you.
Those are the people I represent, she said. She said it. I didn't. Republican Maria Salazar thinks she's in Congress to represent illegals? We cannot afford this. We cannot afford on this issue traitors in our midst. It can't last this way. mass deportation is everything. We will save this country if we have a steel spine and we get these savages out of our country. And if we do not, we will lose. It is that simple. That may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Mark Morgan used to be the head of ICE, used to be the head of CBP, and he is out there screaming loudly. He has a coalition about mass deportation. We're going to talk to him about some of the ins and outs, workforce enforcement, phase one of deportations. Is it done? What's going on with that? We'll talk to Mark next. I love feeling great at the end of the day. That's really the difference. It's not in the morning. When you wake up, good night's sleep, bad night's sleep, whatever you had. You wake up, cup of coffee, breakfast. You're all right. Right? You're all right for a while. Do you hit that wall? So many people do. I did for a very long time. 3-4 in the afternoon. You're staring up at the clock. Oh my gosh, are we? You don't have to hit that wall. In fact, you can feel as good when you get home as you did when you left for the day with natural herbal supplements from Chalk. Natural herbal supplements from Chalk will change your life. They have changed my life. They have male vitality stacks for women, or for men, female vitality stacks for women. Men, you want to get your testosterone levels through the roof. How about a 20% increase in 90 days? We're not just talking about you'll feel better. You are going to be better. And you can save a bunch of money. Go to chalk.com/JesseTV. Congratulations. Mass deportations. The deportations we're getting, over 2 million last year. How are they being done? What are the ins and outs of this thing? Because you don't see it every day, neither do I. But Mark Morgan knows a little something about that, being as how he's the former head of ICE and CBP. Joining me now, Mark Morgan. All right, Mark, how do these things work? How are they working now? Where are they getting these people? Where are they going? Are they actually being deported? Give us the ins and outs.
Well, first, let's, Jesse, if you don't mind, let's back up just a second. But I think this is an important fact we have to remind your listeners and viewers, is that the only way that we're going to permanently de-incentivize future illegal immigration that we know impacts our sovereignty, our safety, national security, regardless of what political party's in the White House, is we've got to put integrity back in our package of immigration laws. And how do we do that? To your point is, we have to enforce those laws against everyone who's violated them. I know, what a radical opinion, and regardless of what category you fit in. And this is what we've seen. So the first year in the Trump administration, it's what's this, a group that I belong to, the Mass Deportation Coalition, calls phase one, where the first year they really went after the so-called worst of the worst. Illegal aliens in the country that have also committed another crime. Again, what a radical viewpoint and position to take. And those operations, now we saw some of those obviously very publicly in Chicago and Minneapolis, but that was happening all across the United States. In ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement, ICE, that's their primary role. And they've really been augmented by other federal agencies, as well as additional funding through the Big Beautiful Bill. And so what we call this phase one has been effective, meaning that there are fewer criminals walking the streets today than there were a year ago. And because of those efforts, our city streets are safer today than they were a year ago, full stop. However, that's not going to get the job done. We need to open that aperture, and we need to go after every category of illegal aliens, not just the worst of the worst. We need to go after the 1.5 million illegal aliens with final orders of removal, the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of visa overstays. And Jesse, we need to aggressively pursue U.S. employers who knowingly and willfully hire illegal aliens so they can pay them cheap wages and further marginalize an already U.S.-based workforce.
All right. I have so many questions off of just what you just said right there. First of all, Mark, phase one, the worst of the worst, you know, the Venezuelan guy who's got 80 rape convictions, that guy. Where are we at in phase one? The middle of it? Is it wrapping up? Are most of those guys gone? And if so, what's phase two specifically?
Jesse, look, these are great questions. And to your first one, so phase one, look, we have some idea of the number of criminal illegal aliens that are in this country, but we don't know for sure how many. And let me give you just one example of many. Just during the Biden administration, the 4 years of the Biden administration, we let in about 2 million known and unknown gotaways, meaning they came into our country, bypassed our frontline resources, and are in the country, and we don't know anything about them. So we don't know what their criminal background is before they came to the country. In addition to that, there are crimes being committed by illegal aliens every single day that we don't know because they haven't been caught. And so the first part is, to some degree, we don't know the totality of the criminal illegal aliens. But to answer the second part of that is, we're still in phase one with respect to that. Not all criminal illegal aliens have been removed. And there's a couple of reasons for that. But one of the most significant reasons is, believe it or not, we have law enforcement agencies in sanctuary cities that can't work with us. That they're like Virginia is an example of that. The governor just signed recently a bill that said state law enforcement and resources cannot cooperate under the 287G program that allows local and state law enforcement to actually assist ICE officers and agents with the identification of those that have committed additional crimes. Meaning, we actually have law enforcement agents that are arresting illegal aliens that have committed a crime, but yet then they're releasing them back in the street because they're forbid to actually work with ICE. So that's one reason that stalled the ability to really remove more criminal illegal aliens. But even that, Jesse, even that, we need to move to phase two.
Okay. That brings me to phase two. And before you go into phase two, I need to know, is this your idea, your phase two, or is this what you know to be the Trump administration's idea of phase two? Is it their phase two, and are they doing it, and what is it?
Well, I'm hoping that it's going to be the Trump administration's phase two, but really where this originated was a new group that was formulated in February called the Mass Deportation Coalition, and it's comprised of national-level conservative think tanks as well as state and local think tanks throughout the United States. And so what we're trying to do is support and show solidarity and kind of give President a right flank to continue to do what he promised the American people. What I think is one of the major reasons why he's back in the White House is what he promised during the campaign is to conduct mass deportations. Quote, I'm going to conduct the largest mass deportation operation in history because we have no choice. That came from the president. He was right then, and it's right today. In fact, polls have shown the overwhelming majority of conservative voters still want mass deportations. They don't want political carve-outs. They don't want to just go after the worst of the worst. They want to go after everyone here that's in the country illegally because, one, they know that's the rule of law. Two, that's the only way we're going to deter future illegal immigration. And so this mass deportation coalition, that's what we've called what they've done so far the first year is phase one. We have kind of dubbed it phase two, and that's what we're calling for, where we open up that aperture, where we continue to go after the worst of the worst, but we also go after the 1.5 million with final orders, hundreds of thousands of visa overstays, and we aggressively go after U.S. employers who hire illegal aliens, because at the end of the day, we know, and history has shown it decade after decade, Jesse, one of the largest incentives for people to come here illegally is the ability to work. Most illegal aliens are economic migrants. If you take away, if you de-incentivize the major pull factor, I promise you, you will see less illegal immigration.
Okay, so I know you have a lot of connections. Do you get the impression the Trump administration is willing to do that? And I know they are image conscious, I guess, as any presidential administration is. We saw some people being moved around after some ugly things happened in Minnesota. Do you get the impression that the White House today, not on the campaign trail, today is willing to go round up workplace people?
Yeah, Jesse, look, I will come back on your show anytime because two things. One, you're knowledgeable issue and you're asking the right questions. I don't know, to be honest. What I can tell you of some of the things that's been reported. So we know that the former secretary, we know how they were executing the immigration laws. There were some issues. There's no way to work around that. I'm not for roaming patrols in Home Depot parking lots or walking through Target. I'm not for that. I'm for targeted enforcement driven by information intelligence, where we're targeting all those demographics. When I say targeting, it's not just criminal illegal aliens. It's those plus the removals, the overstays, the worksite enforcement. All of those should be targeted. And so what we've heard, though, coming from the White House is a fear that politically, because the midterms are coming up, that they're losing the messaging argument. We've heard, it's been reported, these aren't my words, it's out there that high-ranking officials in the White House have said we need to stop using the phrase mass deportation. We've got some Republicans on Capitol Hill, like they often do, right? When the Democrats do good to own the narrative, the Republicans are starting to get a little squishy and backing off. And I hope that's not the case. And that's one of the reasons why the Mass Deportation Coalition came together, again, to show that right flank, to show that solidarity, that President Trump, this can still be done. It needs to be done. The voters want it. And soon we're going to release a playbook that kind of outlines not only the why this needs to be done, mass deportation, but also how it can be done.
Mark, I got an email to my show yesterday. I should have forwarded it to you, so I guess I'll ask you now that I got you. Somebody was very confused how it can be legal for any other law enforcement agency, you know, state of California, the New York, wherever, to turn a criminal loose out onto the streets who has a retainer on him. How can that be legal to just knowingly turn someone loose who has a retainer? Can you explain?
Yeah, so this is where you start getting into really the technical aspects of the law. And that removal is a civil enforcement. And so what you have is a lot of sanctuary cities and then law enforcement that they're saying they're compelled because of their elected leaders, that detainer is not a criminal judicial warrant type document, that it is a civil request that they do not have to comply with from a criminal perspective. And so it starts really getting technical, certain aspects of the law. I'm on the side. I don't agree with that. I think that a detainer by ICE is sufficient to force a jail or a law enforcement agency to actually hold on to that person for a reasonable period of time until ICE can be notified and respond to that. That's being litigated, though.
All right, let's talk about the terrorists. Obviously, we've had a couple recent incidents. We have a war going on with Iran, which makes people sit up in their chair and ask, just how many jihadis did the Biden administration welcome into this country over their 4 years? What are we dealing with here?
Yeah, Jesse, look, this is another great question. Like, again, I don't understand. And let me go back a little bit to illustrate my point that I'll make really quickly is I don't understand how our position could be a radical, extreme position to say, if you're an illegal alien, you've committed another crime against a U.S. citizen, that you should be, law enforcement should be required to hand that person over to ICE. How did that become a radical position? Well, it's the same with respect to the negative impact in our national security. During the Biden administration, look, this isn't my opinion, these are facts. He let in anywhere between 10 to 14 million illegal aliens. The overwhelming majority of those, we have no ability to vet them, meaning they're coming from countries either we don't have any diplomatic relationships with, and therefore we're not able to verify their biographical information. And even some of the countries that we do have relationships with, their systems are so archaic and out of date that we get incomplete data. The bottom line is, so even those individuals that we encounter and releasing, we're doing so without the ability to properly vet them. Jesse, that's insanity. You wouldn't do that in your own home. Why are we doing that in our greater house? It makes no sense. In addition to that, during the Biden administration, we had anywhere between 1 to 2 million known and unknown gotaways. And here's a couple of facts that should be very, very alarming for people. There are hundreds and hundreds of thousands of individuals that we call special interest aliens that came from countries, to your point, that we know sponsor, harbor, and facilitate terrorism, came to our border during the Biden administration, and he let them in. Let me give you a quick example. So let's say you're an adult male of military age that came from Lebanon. Do you think we were able to call the Lebanese government to say, hey, before we let this guy into our United States, can you just verify for us that he's not a member of Hezbollah? Well, of course that wasn't happening, but yet those individuals were being let in the United States every single day. 4 years during the Biden administration, we encountered over 400 illegal aliens on the terror watch list. The previous 4 years, that number was 5. And so I keep telling as many people as I can, it's not if or when a sleeper cell or terrorist threat comes to our country. Jesse, it's already here.
Okay, talk to me about deporting people back to their home countries, because normal people, they get headlines and they read that they're not accepting them. You know, some dirtball from Venezuela got here, and of course he's raping and looting and doing all the things they do. Then we try to send them back, and Venezuela isn't accepting them. Of course they are now, but how can that possibly be? What do you mean not accepting them?
I know, isn't that crazy? I remember when I first got into this world, it's called recalcitrant. Meaning countries, it's a fancy word for what you just said, countries don't refuse to take back their own citizens. China, for example, is a big violator of this. It's unconscionable, right? How do we allow that to happen? Well, we have a lot of ability and authorities and ways to actually put pressure on countries to start taking their own citizens back. That's why when we say, you know, when it comes to enforcing immigration laws and ultimately removing people that are here in the country illegally, it really truly is that definition of whole of government approach. And a big major player to this is the Department of State. I remember when I was commissioner, as an example, CBP during Trump one, is that we during Title 42, during COVID, we instituted Title 42. And we, at times, I was on a daily call that also the Department of State was involved with. And we used a variety of leverage tactics, and we forced countries to start taking their citizens back during the pandemic. There's no reason why that can't continue. We, as United States, we need to continue to use every tool in our toolbox to put pressure on every single country to take their citizens back.
Mark, final one from me, self-deportations. We got great numbers last year. Look, I've heard estimates of 1.5 million self-deportations. Is that continuing? Did we reach our cap and now we got to go arrest all these people? Is it happening? What's happening with that?
Yeah, so this is, Jesse, another great question. I don't repeat myself there, but I'm being honest. Look, this is, you know, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? So look, self-deportations will never be fully realized unless every single illegal alien, regardless of your demographic, truly believes that they are being targeted for enforcement. Meaning, if people, the 20 plus million illegal aliens in this country, if they believe only the worst of the worst, this tiny, small subset is actually going to be the focus of this administration's removal operation, then self-deportations will never happen. Common sense, we've seen it before. If you're a visa overstay, if you're one of the 1.5 million with a final order, or you're a worker hiring illegal aliens, none of that is gonna stop. They'll be like, wait a minute, why should I self-deport when I'm not even being targeted for removal? I'm gonna stay. And so that gets back to my original point. The only way that we're gonna do this, the only way that we're gonna increase the self-deportation numbers is everyone's gotta believe they're a target if they're here illegally.
Agreed. Mark, absolutely outstanding, sir. Please come back. Stay on him. All right. Emin Blair joins us next. He's a wealth of knowledge, too, about this stuff. Hang on. Hiring Americans. I wish so many companies did it. I wish every company did it. And I am ashamed to admit to you that when I was younger, I never used to prioritize this at all. I never cared. Whatever, just give me low prices. And now that I watch how much of our economy has been handed over to foreigners, I've really made it a priority in my life to shop with businesses who hire Americans. Pure Talk hires Americans. Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, they can't wait to send those jobs overseas or bring foreigners here, pay them pennies on the dollar while your son sits at home without a job. My cell phone company hires Americans. They'll charge you less for your cell phone service. They have wonderful people in customer service. They're led by a Vietnam veteran. You can keep your phone. You can keep your number. There's no reason not to switch. I hate to put it like that, but there's not. Switch to Pure Talk. PureTalk.com/JesseTV.
from Brooklyn, New York. We have a diaspora that can absorb a significant number of these migrants. And when I hear colleagues talk about, the doors of the inn being closed, no room in the inn, I'm saying, I need more people in my district, but just for redistricting purposes. And those members could clearly fit here.
Well, that's being honest. We got to hand her credit for that. She's the one dumb enough to come right out and say why they want the mass importation of Florida foreigners. Joining me now, Ammon Blair, senior fellow from the Texas Public Policy Foundation. And we don't have to get into the details of where specifically Ammon is at the moment, unless he chooses to do so. All right, Ammon, I applaud Miss Yvette Clark for being the one dumb enough to come out and say it.
Yeah, no, Joe, it's kind of funny because what she said, it really, through your book and other books about countering communism, you can see that in the beginning of like the early 1900s, the Communist Party of USA wanted to use race as a means to subject their will or their ideology or their religion onto the American public and destroy the sovereignty of this nation and the state. And so you had books as early as 1917 talking about how they were going to go into the black communities and utilize the black community to rise up, to create chaos and frustration and anger, and have them to rise up against the state and against this nation. And so her remarks right now really it speaks to that which was spoken before. Now, if you look back in the early 1990s, the Democrats actually were not saying what she's saying now. They were actually for protecting the borders, for a decrease in immigration. They were actually advocating for the actual union and the union workers. And so you'll have Joe Biden, you would have Nancy Pelosi, you would have all these officials now that are for open borders that were actually representing a certain class of citizens inside the United States, namely those that were part of a union. And so now they realize that in order to remain in power, they have switched to those that they know will have or will garner complete allegiance to them. And that is going to be the illegal alien. And so that's why this is so interesting is when you come into this country, when you try to become a citizen, allegiance is part of that process. When you swear an oath to become a citizen, like my mom did this just this last year, that oath of allegiance states that you have to sever any ties you have to any other country or any other organization or unit that has a separate or a doctrine or a mantra that is antagonistic towards or not in support of the Constitution of the United States. And so by what she is saying and what Democrats are actually doing without even being saying or being said is that you must come to the United States and have allegiance to me, the individual, and to us, the party that is going to protect you from the rule of law, the Constitution of the United States, the current statutes created by Congress and executed through our president, that we are going to protect you from that in the hopes and in the desires that you will then follow kind of our command. They have now completed a complete caste system of illegal aliens to have a complete allegiance to that person or to that party. And so, of course, they are going to fight as much as possible to keep the millions upon millions of illegal aliens here remaining inside the United States, knowing full well that we are still trying to fight that they can't vote, right? Election integrity laws. But there are ways that they can circumvent that. And that is by having them added onto the Census Bureau.
Can you help me understand, help us understand, because a lot of people don't talk about this. You know, the headlines that are, you know, some rape or murder, the crimes like that, but the economic impact that this many foreigners in the country has had on the country is something most Americans don't truly understand. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, sure. And really, there's actually not a lot of data. You have the FAIR that came out with a good report that talks about that. But many states that try to enact legislation to see the economic impacts of those that are illegally present inside the United States that are not members of the political community, that should not be here in the first place. You've seen a lot of pushback. Now, the Florida was the first to enact an executive order on the hospital systems. What we saw under the Biden administration was a complete chaos on our hospital systems. And when you came across on the border, as a Border Patrol agent, anytime someone had the sniffles, anytime someone was sick or any injuries whatsoever, we would immediately have to take them to a facility. And that facility took the illegal alien as a priority over the citizens. Well, who foots that cost? Well, if the federal government takes that illegal alien to them, then it's going to be the federal government that takes that cost, which is the taxpayer. Then if the illegal alien goes by themselves, see that they are now present inside the United States, and they go to the hospitals themselves, see, like if we during the invasion and we release some millions of people inside the United States, we sent them anywhere. Well, what if they go to a hospital then on their own record based up because they're sick or injured or whatnot? Well, the hospital is going to take them. Well, who eats that cost? Well, if it's a privately owned hospital, that private company is now eating that cost. And so we saw late into the Biden administration, Denver, the hospital systems in Denver were actually going bankrupt, even though they were having sanctuary city policies telling everyone to come to Denver, come to Colorado, we'll provide for you. Well, at the same time, the private companies that were having to now take it upon themselves and upon their own merits and businesses to support this effort were actually going bankrupt. So really the only two studies right now in terms of hospital use on the cost of illegal aliens is going to be in Florida, where they did it by executive order and then codified that in law. And then also in Texas. Here in Texas, Governor Abbott also did the same thing by executive order. He stated that when you go to the hospital, that you must state either you're an illegal alien, an alien that's present legally, or you also cannot or don't have to claim your citizenship. And from there was a recent report that showed hundreds of millions of dollars that the state government is losing just on healthcare alone. And so then you have to look at, okay, in the grand scheme of things, what else is there going to be a cost to? Well, law enforcement's a cost. When you have massive enclaves and diasporas of illegal aliens, who's going to conduct the rule of law in that area? Who's going to adjudicate? And where is that money coming from? And the personnel, time, and resources. It's going to be the local municipalities, cities, counties, jail systems, you name it, just on the law enforcement issue itself. How about all the law, the lawsuits or the law firms or the immigrations that that must be paid for, that are that the federal government is also paying for? So if you go across every facet of our society and you look at what does it cost a regular citizen to live? And what if we gave those same rights and benefits to the citizen, but now we're giving those same rights and benefits to millions upon millions of illegal aliens? Then you'll see that the costs are extremely high. And one of the biggest reasons why there's such an attack on why states are unwilling to get those costs or to count the illegal aliens is because then it actually hits your pocketbook. Look, when you talk to border ranchers, specifically, there's a border rancher in Arizona. Her husband was killed by a smuggler, and no one really cared whether that was a Republican or a Democrat. And she said something really profound, and that was, you know, it is all irrelevant. I mean, or irrelative, unless it's your relative. So unless this situation directly impacts you, and you can visibly and tangibly see it and feel it. If you can visibly and tangibly feel illegal immigration affecting you and your kids, that soccer mom that's living in the suburbs, unless she can directly feel it and then see it, then she's going to continue to vote whatever her heartstrings are pulling her towards, which is open borders. And so that's why a lot of these organizations, these NGOs, Democrat Party, they're all combating because they don't want full transparency and accountability of the direct impact to every single citizen. Because once every single citizen sees that not only are they impacting the rule of law, criminality, you name it, but now they're impacting my pocketbook, that's when you're going to start seeing a much more pushback from everyone on the right to center, even center left.
Ammon, why is it so hard to denaturalize somebody? You almost never hear about it. Shouldn't that be easy? You come here, you get citizenship, it turns out you're a scumbag and now we're taking it away?
Yeah, great question. You know, I mean, it is on our rule books. We've done it before. And the denaturalization process, you even say it when you're taking that oath of citizenship, it even states it in that oath. It states in that entire process under USCIS of what terms and conditions during that process can also make sure that you no longer become a citizen. Unfortunately, the reason why it has become so difficult is because we created a parallel immigration system. We created a system where there's a massive backlog to go to become an immigrant inside the United States, a legal resident, to go through the entire process to become a citizen, and then finally get your citizenship. Then the other parallel program that we created was we carved out all these every ways and means to become a resident of the United States. And whether that is under the first Bush administration, TPS, whether that was amnesty under Reagan, whether that was all the catch and release programs, the alternative to detention programs. And so now you have all these illegal aliens, all these foreign nationals that are lawfully present inside the United States. And then they've gone through that current process where they are quote unquote legal because we've gone through other ways and means to get them here. And so because of that parallel immigration process that is sidesteps and now jumped ahead of that immigration, the actual immigration process and the rule of law, it's extremely difficult both as because you have also multiple people that benefit from that. You have all the large corporations, whether you're a trucking company from the CDL access, whether you're a tech company and you have cheap labor, whether you have all these different ways and means that you're utilizing the visa system, you're utilizing immigrants that are willing to be paid nothing just to remain inside the United States and seek benefit. And so you have so many different lobbying groups, organizations, sectors of our society that seek that cheap labor, that also seek culturally. And so because of that, because of all these ways and means, and because all the lobbyists and the money that all these organizations, these global monopolies and corporations seek to benefit by having those people remain inside the United States, that is why it's so difficult. When you go into the halls of Congress, when you see the lobbying efforts and the money being thrown around to produce certain ways and means of making sure that illegal immigrants remain inside the United States, that immigration itself, regardless of this fact, also remain inside the United States, you'll see that there is now, they've now created a caste system. The citizen, the everyday citizen, those of us that are following the rule of law have been completely subordinated to the illegal alien and the foreign national that is seeking to replace the American citizen, in, whether that's in the workforce or whether that's in every facet of our society. And so once again, it all goes back to remaining in power. Those who want to remain in power see this as a ways and means to do so. They see that the illegal alien, once they garner allegiance to it, also the foreign national who gets on a visa or anyone else, they see that as a ways and means to remain where they're currently at or propel themselves forward. So does a corporation.
Ammon, thank you. As always, my brother, I appreciate you. All right. Final thoughts next. All right. I have to blame Cowboy Colostrum for something. You see, when I first started drinking coffee, I used to put the fruity little creamer things in there. The French vanilla or whatever. And I never felt manly about it. I always felt like it wasn't right. I felt like this isn't what John Wayne would do. And so I made a decision. This is years ago. I decided, you know what? I'm only going to drink black coffee, just like John Wayne did in all the cowboy movies. And I just cut myself off. No cream, no sugar, straight black coffee. It's good. And then I discovered Cowboy Colostrum. You see, it's not made to be put in your coffee, although you can. It's for your gut. It's heartburn, gut problems. It's for your gut. But I started putting a couple scoops in my coffee. And mine is chocolate. And it's delicious. And I've started to like it again. And I've stopped drinking black coffee because Cowboy Colostrum is so delicious. Also, I don't get heartburn anymore. CowboyColostrum.com, code JesseTV. It's everything. That's why we talk about it so often on this show. We have to get these people out and then keep them out. This is one of those things where we can't afford to back off, and we have to apply pressure. You and I have to apply pressure to our politicians because they are in Washington, D.C., and all the evil forces of the swamp are in their ear telling them, don't keep them here. The Democrats, no, these are your voters. The Republicans on the same at the same time are being told by their corporate donors, no, I need the cheap labor, keep them here. They're fine. They're just picking the jalapeno peppers. No, they have to go. All of them have to go. We can never relent on this. It is a generational fight. We lose the country if we don't get them out. Keep the pressure on every single politician. Make demands of your future politicians so we can save the United States of America. All right. We'll do it again.